1. Single take for Corky. Really gonna get it right. Jazz. 1. Single take for Corky. If it takes me all night. Jazz. Jazz. Jazzing up my jazzing. Everybody is a jazz. What? Oh, God, the melody really fell apart and I don't know the lyrics. But this is ya boy, Daniel Barnes, film critic Daniel Barnes. Graced, disgraced. I'm going to let the wags figure that out. All right. I'm just Dan Barnes. I'm just living my life. Here, I'm going to be reviewing a couple of movies today. And of course, that song, One Single Take. Because I'm going to try to do this in one single take. So if you hear me flub and fuck it up, this is the deal between me and Corky. I can do this kind of nonsense if I do it in one take and he doesn't have to edit the episode. So welcome to take 67. Pulling a William Wyler on this episode. I'm gonna nail it. I really am going to nail it. But I like to do these every once in a while. Touch base, check in, state of the state. Just kind of tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, movie, what are you doing? So I'm going to briefly review a couple of new releases from two of the top filmmakers of their day, which is also our day. Awesome. It's cool how that works out like that. Richard Linklater's Blue Moon. This is a mostly one-set look at the last days of songwriter Lorenz Hart. And Jafar Panahi's It Was Just an Accident, a.k.a. Un Simple Accident. A fascinating, politically charged sort of noir that won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival last May. I do these mini-episodes once in a blue moon. And it was no accident that I picked these two movies. I'll stop. Both films are opening today, Friday, October 24, assuming we got this out in time, at the Tower Theater right here in Sacramento, and in select markets across the country. Was your market selected? No, I'll never tell. So I'm going to flip a coin to see who goes first. I would if I had a coin. Let's pretend I have a coin. It's heads, and let's say that heads is Blue Moon. Blue Moon. Blue Moon. You Saw Me Standing Alone, yeah. Directed by Richard Linklater. You know Richard Linklater. Written by Robert Kaplow. You might not know him. He wrote the novel, but not the script for Linklater's Me and Orson Welles movie from about 10, 12 years ago. Blue Moon stars Ethan Hawke, frequent Linklater collaborator, as Lorenz Hart. Stars Andrew Garfield as Richard Rogers, also featuring Margaret Qualley and Bobby Cannavale. It's a bleak, although not too bleak, it's Linklater. And acid-tongued, although not too acid-tongued, it's Linklater, yet sensitive and empathetic and lived in, because it is Linklater, story of Lorenz Hart drowning in drink at Sardi's in 1943, while his former partner Richard Rogers celebrates the opening of his biggest hit, Oklahoma. The first shot of the film is Hart basically dying, collapsing drunk and alone in the street at the age of 48. Again, love to hear about that. Very bleak way to open the film. So no matter how lively Hart is when we flashback, we meet him at Sardi's 9 months earlier, 8 months earlier, I can't recall. We know this is the real beginning of the end that we see before the title even shows up. Lorenz Hart, he was 5 feet tall in real life. Hawke is taller than that. It mostly works, only occasionally looks silly. They're doing it with angles, they're doing it with framing rather than any dwarf-like trickery. At the same time, Hart's height is about as inconsistent as Godzilla. It's like he's being towered over by humans, and next thing you know, he's destroying Tokyo. He seems especially small, though, in his scenes with Rogers. I think Linklater is doing this purposefully, and it seems like when he's with Rogers, who is celebrating this great triumph, while Hart is at a very low ebb in his life and in his career, he just seems to get smaller and smaller and smaller, like we're watching this man get diminished and winnowed away into absolutely nothing. Hart's holding on to past glory. He's putting all his eggs in the basket of a young New Haven blonde who doesn't love him in that way. He's clearly brilliant and blind at the same time. He is gifted and troubled. He's dying 1,000 deaths and living 1,000 lives. All at the same time. Total tour de force by Hawke. He's really, really good. He's at the center of almost every single scene, holding court, insulting, self-glorifying, self-deprecating, other people deprecating, trying to basically resist bathing in the alcohol that would eventually kill him. He rides the line between these two quotes that open the film, one between from Rogers, who says that he was just a really fun guy to be around, and then another one who says he was the saddest man I've ever known. As my cat tries to ruin this recording, I won't let you. It was Andrew Scott, though, who won the acting award for the film at the Berlin Film Festival, although I felt he was one of the more awkward performances in the film. I love Andrew Scott. All of Us Strangers, one of my favorite movies of that year. I think it's just that his character, Rogers, is cast as too obvious a foil to Hart. This awkwardness is that he's portrayed as the antagonist for no real reason except that Hart's the main character and Hart is at a very, you know, dark, low point. It's a good film. There's some stuff in there with E.B. White that seems a bit dodgy, the inspiration for Stuart Little. I don't know if there's any grounding in that, but it just does feels like one of those like Marvin Barry from Back to the Future kind of things. Linklater, this is his 22nd, if I'm counting right, narrative feature film. That doesn't count documentaries or shorts or anything else. The man likes to work. Like, this is a bit more than Mr. T. He likes to work. In fact, he has another movie, another biopic opening next week at the Tower Theater. That's Nouvelle Vague, his film about Godard, Seberg, and the making of Breathless. And I tend to think of Linklater as certainly one of the preeminent filmmakers of his generation. And yet it really feels like when you kind of lay it all out there, the average is being tipped by a few monumental achievements. It's like when the running back, you know, averaged 10 yards a carry or something like that. But one of them was a 99-yard run and everything else was like banged into the line. A sports metaphor, you get it. When you back out, and of course this isn't fair, you don't back out, but if you took out the Before trilogy, Dazed and Confused, and Boyhood, I think those are just monumental films. Before, what an achievement. Boyhood would be a monumental achievement if it wasn't good, and it's great. And Dazed and Confused, I mean, there's nothing more that needs to be said about that. And you could even include Slacker just because it's so influential. Take those out, and you've got, like, a lot of really nice, good movies. That's my own feeling. You know, other people can disagree. Linklater, former college baseball player, and to me, his filmography is stuffed with walks and singles, maybe a hit batter here and there. Not a lot of extra base hits. Although the on-base percentage is astounding, there's hardly anything here to really dislike or almost nothing to hate. And to me, Blue Moon kind of fits right in there into the nice, good, unspectacular, but nothing to hate set. It's fine. It's good. You'll remember as fondly as me and Orson Welles in 10 years. You know, there's nothing really to get to there. But again, Nouvelle Vague, we got another one coming right around the corner there. So that's my thoughts on Blue Moon. So let's flip over to It Was Just an Accident. No one's buying that, all right? No one is buying. It was written and directed by Iranian filmmaker Jafar Panahi, the great Jafar Panahi. His last film was the acclaimed No Bears. And by coincidence, this film also has no bears. So if you are keeping score at home, that is two films, zero bears. Not like he can't direct bears. What about Paddington 4? Let's make it happen for Panahi. What do you say, Hollywood scumbags? No? Okay. The basics of the plot. Panahi does this sort of head fake at the beginning. This is more straightforward and less meta than Panahi's recent efforts. I'll talk a little bit about his kind of off-screen life once we get into the film a bit. But it's not surprising that he's not doing a super conventional, any sort of conventional genre film or anything like that. In fact, we do this sort of head fake at the beginning where we follow this family, and we might even think this is the family that we'll be following. Husband, pregnant wife, young daughter. They're driving through the desert. They hit an animal. So, okay, it's a simple accident. It wasn't his fault. An animal ran in front of the car. It's dark. It's, you know, the middle, whatever. They take the car to the mechanic, and that's where the story really begins. It becomes this sort of, I say sort of noir, although there's nothing really noirish about it in the style, but I think in the themes you could really get there. It's a sort of mystery, sort of revenge story. But again, nothing as simple as like a Jason Statham type of revenge story. It's much more than that. In fact, that revenge part is captured in the first 15 minutes. The basic story is that this guy who hits the car, he's overheard by a mechanic at the place that he takes his car to. And this guy recognizes him as a figure from his past who tortured him while he was under arrest by the Iranian government. And wants revenge on this man. And that is achieved in really like the first 15 to 20 minutes of the movie. If you just want revenge, do what this guy does. Find the guy, follow him, hit him with a shovel, toss him in your van, drive him to the desert, dig a hole, stick him in it, fill the hole. Revenge over. All good. But the doubt, Susan, the doubt. And he starts to doubt if it really is the guy. He then reconnects with old colleagues and fellow victims of this man, Eggball, And they all kind of have different reactions to it. I mean, some of them are surprisingly cutthroat. Some of them are surprisingly want answers about it and want certainty that this is the man. In fact, it's when I say it's more than simple revenge, I mean, the man who we meet who wants payback at any cost, who sees this guy and wants to just kill him on the spot, he's also the first to cut bait because he's not going to go down this road of, I need certainty, I need anything, and this will get me over it. He's never getting over it. You know what I mean? That's just it. Then there's also this medical issue with Eggball's pregnant wife. The man who's captured his wife is pregnant. She has some medical issues. That complicates the scene. And for what's their duty to this woman and to his family? What's their duty to themselves? I said it's not noirish in a style sense, but I think the themes are there. In fact, the plot kind of bears a little resemblance to a Fred Zinnemann movie from the 40s called Act of Violence. Not to mention the Cheers episode where Carla thinks one of her patrons is her old Catholic school tormentor, or the Cheers episode where Cliff thinks his new neighbor is Hitler. I've been watching a lot of Cheers lately, but I say cheers to Panahi for this marvelous film. That's awful. My history of Panahi. So I don't know too much about his pre-arrest career. Panahi, he's been persecuted by the Iranian government, and this really is a movie about being persecuted by the Iranian government. So he has kind of two eras to his career, Panahi does. He has the kind of pre-arrest from 2010 and earlier, and the post-arrest from after that. His earlier films, you've got like The White Balloon and Crimson Gold and some other, Offsides. So some really highly acclaimed films that were coming out of Iran in the 90s and in the 2000s, but he was arrested in 2010, placed on house arrest, and charged with propaganda against the regime. Start getting used to these terms, people, because this is exactly where we're heading. He was banned from making films or traveling outside Iran. He's made like 7 movies since then. He also showed up at Cannes to accept his Palme d'Or because this guy's got big fucking balls on him. Arrested again in 2022, finally released in February 2023, after going on a hunger strike. All this is happening as No Bears is just playing the international circuit. It's roaming around playing in theaters, roaming around like a bear does, but there were no bears in that film. But yeah, I have not seen a ton of his earlier films. They're not as easy to find, but I've seen most of the stuff he's made since then, starting with This Is Not a Film. That's the film he made while he was on house arrest. And I'm a huge fan. But unlike his other recent efforts, It Was Just an Accident does not star Panahi. I mean, he mainly was the star of all of these films he's been making since his arrest. And it doesn't really feature that meta lens that has characterized Panahi's recent work, this kind of about the movie. There's an element in there where there's an element of reality kind of intruding in there. It's much more straightforward in structure, although Panahi's not going to do a perfunctory, like I said, genre take on this. He's going to do his own kind of poetic sort of take. But there is obviously a lot of connection between this film and between Panahi's story. Again, it's about people who are persecuted by the government and, you know, what do you do then, right? People were they were punished for asking for basic human rights. They're just putting their lives together when all this occurs. But like the questions are like, what do you do? How do you punish someone like this? Can you punish him if you're not certain? What is that? Do you punish him with his methods? Or is that more a bitter end for you than it is for him? How do you move on? Can you move on? They need him to admit it. They need him to testify. The people who stick around do. Again, this is not just a simple, like, that guy hurt me and now I'm going to hurt him back in the same way, because it's not that obvious or that easy. It's a really great film. When we talked about it, it was the Only Angels Have Wings episode where we talked a little bit about It Was Just an Accident on the Cannon Fodder podcast. And I talked about how its chances for best international foreign film weren't looking good, because the way that that works, the Oscar submission process for that foreign film award, every country submits one movie and that gets winnowed down to a final, and then that gets winnowed down to a top 5. But you can't pick 2 movies, right? So due to the complexities, and obviously Iran was not going to submit a film that is technically illegal under their laws to the Academy, but due to the complexities of international financing and in film distribution. It's going to be France that will submit It Was Just an Accident for the Best International Film Oscar. And there's so many politics that actually go into this that we don't hear that much about because it's happening in, you know, Luxembourg and things like that. But if you go back to just a couple of years ago, apparently there was a big controversy with France and what film they were going to nominate because they had two very good selections. They had The Taste of Things with Juliette Binoche, and then they had Anatomy of a Fall. They chose The Taste of Things, which was shut out at the Oscars. Anatomy of a Fall, not nominated for Best Foreign Film because no one submitted it. However, it was nominated for Pictures, nominated for Director, it was nominated for Actress. It was a big cause, very celebrated. I think The Taste of Things is the better film, but again, like, there's a lot that goes into this in a lot of these decisions. Like, France is not going to submit some other film because it is submitting It Was Just an Accident, but It Was Just an Accident obviously gives them the best chance of winning. And it's a really, really good film. It's not a difficult watch, but it's not an easy watch at the same time. And I think it really forces you to kind of think about yourself and think about, you know, the kind of situation in the world right now and, you know, how are we going to deal with these kind of things. So let's wrap it up here. I liked both films, but I really liked It Was Just an Accident. So if you're at the Tower Theater in Sacramento and you can only see one film, see the Panahi film, It Was Just an Accident. But why just one? Why not both and throw in a third or a fourth? Come on. What are you doing that's so great? So that's all I got for you about these two movies, Blue Moon and It Was Just an Accident. Again, they are playing, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, pop over to the Tower Theater, see if it's playing in your area. And then come back here on Tuesday, October 29th, for our review of Satyajit Ray's Pather Panchali. What a movie. I mean, if you're, there's only one movie you're going to watch this weekend, watch Pather Panchali, because, oh my God, that's just, I mean, that's astounding. That's an all-timer. It is available to watch on the Criterion Channel if you do want to watch it. Many other sources as well. Not a hard film to find in this day and age. Give it a look, give it a relook, and then listen to us review it on Tuesday. Until then, boy, it was nice talking to you. And I'm Daniel Barnes saying, save me a seat in the back row. Bye-bye.